specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The House is doing today what its leaders agreed they would do yesterday. $70 billion of President Bush's tax cuts are being extended. There is debate over it.
This policy has worked in creating jobs. This policy has worked to help regular people keep more of what they earn.
We are asking the poor and the middle class to sacrifice. Shouldn't the rich sacrifice too? Where is the mercy? Where is the compassion?
It's an extension of only some of the tax cuts the president credits with spurring the current economic expansion. The GOP said this was the most that could be fast-tracked without facing a Democratic filibuster to stop it. Interest rates got another bump today. The federal funds rate up another quarter of a point.
The Fed did not hand us any surprises. It raised short-term interest rates for the 16th straight time by a quarter point to 5%. That was pretty much baked into the cake already for investors. What they were focusing on, of course, was the Fed statement, which followed. And again, the Fed suggested it may not be finished with a nearly two-year run of rate increases.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 3 points to close at 11,642. The Nasdaq was off about 17.5. Oil prices just over $72 a barrel, up more than a dollar. The manager of the band Great White has been sentenced to 4 years in prison plus 11 years suspended sentence over a fire that raged through a Rhode Island nightclub called The Station back in 2003. Daniel Beakley.
I don't know that I'll ever forgive myself for what happened that night, so I can't expect anybody else to.
Patrick Lynch is the Attorney General of Rhode Island.
Mr. Beakley is now on the records a convicted felon for playing a role in starting a fire that was the proximate cause of the death that resulted.
100 young people died in that fire. Afghanistan has problems beyond the Taliban. The government is not strong. The Afghanistan economy depends on the illegal drug trade.
The U.S. military commander in Afghanistan says enormous obstacles remain.
We find the Taliban burning down schools.
Lieutenant General Carl Eikenberry told Pentagon reporters that insurgents are changing tactics
to increasing use of improvised explosive devices in the suicide bombings.
He said the Taliban are strengthening, but not with the help of outsiders.
We have not seen conclusive evidence there has been any migration from Iraq to Afghanistan of foreign fighters.
Eikenberry said he's not yet ready to recommend reducing American troop levels there. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
May 10th in South Carolina is Confederate Memorial Day. It commemorates the death of General Stonewall Jackson and the capture of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. And, of course, it honors soldiers who died during the war. It's a holiday mandated by the same legislation that made Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a holiday there. This is CBS News.
Gomez to serve.
Yeah, he's got the fastest serve in tennis. Oh!
Yeah, looks like we've lost another line, Judge.
Speed isn't worth much without accuracy. Something to keep in mind when shopping for car insurance, too. With Progressive Direct, you can be sure you're getting a quote that's accurate, not to mention fast. In fact, you should be done in about 8 minutes. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Three teenagers are suspects in a series of bank robberies in Canada. CBS News correspondent Chris Mavridis.
Think back to when you were in the eighth grade, playing with friends, worried about that big math test, knocking over a couple of banks. Hey, wait a minute.
We've got two 13-year-olds and one 14-year-old that have done some robberies.
Suspected in 7 bank heists around Vancouver.
This just totally caught us off guard with the age of these kids.
No kidding. Roger Murrow and other cops like him couldn't believe it. The teen suspects were nabbed allegedly getting away, not in a car, but on public transit. Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
1 in 15 Americans has eyesight so poor they couldn't pass a driver's license test, and most of them go without correcting the situation. It's a government report in the AMA Journal, and it's mostly poor people who walk around not seeing well. Why? Have you priced glasses lately? Forget about contacts or surgery. Money's the reason. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Are your photos less than picture perfect? Then come into Office Depot today and get a great deal on a new digital camera, just in time for Mother's Day. Office Depot has its largest assortment of digital cameras ever, all featuring the latest technology. So hurry in, because now through Saturday at Office Depot, when you buy a digital camera over $199.99, you'll save $50 instantly.
Taking care of business.
Offer excludes clearance items and camera printer bundles.
Today, another arthritis medicine has been recalled.
Glucosamine is under fire.
Some arthritis remedies may be ineffective, so says the FDA.
Finally, some good news for people with arthritis. Introducing Arthritis Advantage. Arthritis Advantage is a clinically proven treatment that works naturally with your immune system to stop arthritis pain before it starts. That's right, before it starts, and without side effects. Now you have an advantage against arthritis. New Arthritis Advantage. Look for it in the supplement section at your pharmacy.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the Left Coast. Our program is produced by Matthew C. Renner, and I am your humble host, Peter B. We've got a lot to talk about, as usual, on this live, unscripted, unrehearsed radio talk program. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up in about a half an hour, two interesting voices from the state of New Mexico talk about some of the energy problems confronting us and the way the Bush administration has managed energy issues. We'll talk with Joanna Prukop. She's a cabinet secretary to Governor Bill Richardson in charge of energy, minerals, and national resources. And also Tweety Blansett, who is a rancher in New Mexico and a board member of Republicans for Environmental Protection. You'll find they have remarkably similar viewpoints, particularly on the mismanagement of energy issues by the Bush administration. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour, Eleanor Smeal. You know her as a leading feminist in America, one of the board members at Ms. Magazine. And Ms. has published a fascinating story that connects Tom DeLay and Richard Pombo, among others, like Jack Abramoff, to the sweatshops on the island of Saipan and the Marianas Islands, which are in a very curious position. They are considered U.S. possessions, but the people there don't have citizenship. And as a result, the women who work in the sweatshops there are exploited. And we'll talk about those issues and how they lead back to one-party rule in Washington, D.C. We'll get an update from our investigative reporter from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna. She has been covering the developing stories related to U.S. intentions toward Iran. That love letter from Tehran was not well received at the White House, and we'll get Larissa's take on that and other issues coming up on our program. Then, as usual, the final hour, wide open for your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. And speaking of the phone, you're always welcome to call with a question or a comment. On the Central Coast, it's a local number, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else in the United States, you can call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. A quick note for people who are politically active, and if you listen to this program, I certainly hope you are. The Democrats who want to be your next governor, Phil Angelides and Steve Wesley, have their final debate on television tonight. And for some of our listeners, you're going to have to go to the dish because it's being originated by CBS Channel 5, KPIX in San Francisco. I know that's not on the cable in Monterey. I think it's on the cable in Eureka, but I am not positive. You may have to go to your satellite dish to see that. But I wanted to let you know, 7 to 8 p.m. tonight, the Democratic candidates for governor will face off on television.
I'm
And is not peace basically a matter of human rights? The right to live out our lives without fear of devastation? The right to breathe air as nature provided it? The right of future generations to a healthy existence?
That is the voice of John F. Kennedy, who died at the assassin's bullet November 22nd, 1963. Lamar Waldron joins us on the program this afternoon, and Tom Hartman may have tipped you off if you were listening yesterday. The two of them collaborated on a book about the Kennedy assassination called Ultimate Sacrifice, and they've collaborated on a television documentary which will air tomorrow night, Thursday, on the Discovery Channel at 9 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings. We think it'll be 9 p.m. Pacific, too. Lamar Waldron, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Great to be here, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. How did you and Tom Hartman hook up?
Well, we worked together back in Atlanta when Tom lived in Atlanta before he moved out west.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought this would be a small project. We were both writers, and we would read a few books, look at a few documents. This was the 25th anniversary of the assassination, and we thought this would take a few months at most, and
mm-hmm.
that was over 17 years ago, and
wow.
hundreds of thousands of documents and interviews with almost two dozen Kennedy insiders ago. And I've had to do most of the work the last few years, but Tom was a huge help early on and did a lot of very important research and continues to keep a big interest in it.
Well, he's a bright man with many talents and a guy I deeply admire, and he dislocated to Vermont for a few years there, too, before he went to Portland.
That's correct.
So you guys have had a long distance relationship for a while.
Well, Tom was really a kind of a computer internet pioneer, which actually helped us in a lot of ways because we did a lot of early research, kind of pre-internet in the CompuServe days in the late 80s and early 90s, and Tom's such a computer whiz, and we were able to, to do database work in the late 80s, on a Macintosh that I could have never done that helped us make a lot of breakthroughs. So, again, mm-hmm. I owe an awful lot to Tom.
Well, you did take on an immense project. I have been following the issues related to the Kennedy assassination for a long time. I've been doing talk radio since the early 70s, and it is the enduring conspiracy story. And I still feel that we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. Can you help me? Have you gotten to the bottom of it?
Well, we've gotten to the bottom of it as far as what's been released, and as people will learn tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel show, Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination, we found that there are over a million CIA documents, not pages, documents alone that have still not been released to Congress or to the public, even though Congress unanimously passed the JFK Act back in 1992 to release all the files. So we know what's out there, and we've worked behind the scenes to help get a lot of really important files released that had been withheld from several congressional investigations for decades. And people will actually see these declassified files right out of the National Archives. These aren't any kind of Dan Rather documents. These are documents from the National Archives. We have some of them on our website, ultimatesacrificethebook.com. Others you can find on other websites on the web. So, we aren't asking people to take our word for it. We got the story from almost two dozen Kennedy insiders, people like Dean Rusk and Pierre Salinger and David Powers, head of the JFK Library, who was in the limo right behind JFK and saw the shots from the Knoll. And then we were able to work behind the scenes, and a lot of other people, too, to get the documents released that confirmed everything that we had been told. So what people are going to see tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel or read in the book Ultimate Sacrifice, this isn't rehashing the same old things that have been around for 10 or 20 or 30 years. This is all new material that really put a totally different spin on the assassination. And it really shows that Bobby Kennedy himself knew and told other people who had killed his brother, and Bobby was right.
Who killed him?
The mafia did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how they did it that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's focus on the why first, and then we have a
sure.
break, Lamar. You know how radio works, and then we'll come back and talk about how. I worked in Chicago radio. I interviewed Judith Exner in the 70s. It was in the 70s. I know about Sam Giancana and Johnny Rosselli. I know the way they traded Judith Exner around as the girlfriend du jour. So we know about the Kennedys' ties to the mob, the election of 1960, clearly had some help from some Italian surnamed individuals in Chicago. So what fundamentally caused a decision to be made, who made it, to have Kennedy taken out?
What a lot of people don't realize, because as you said, a lot of people almost think mafia, they think Kennedys. And in reality, the mafia had it much better in the 50s when Vice President Richard Nixon had a big hand in running things, especially U.S. relations with Cuba. And Hoover, for a long time in the 50s, even denied the mafia existed. So the 50s were really a golden age for the mafia. And the mafia supported both candidates in 1960. You know, they want to come out on top no matter who wins. In fact, the mafia gave far more support to Richard Nixon than to John F. Kennedy. So what happened was JFK came to prominence in the late 50s with his brother Bobby, leading attacks on the mafia as a senator for the McClellan Crime Committee. That's how JFK really came to national prominence, as a mafia buster.
Right.
Now, these rumors, and there's a lot of fact, all came out in the 60 election. So to continue their work and also to help counter any thinking that they may be soft on the mafia, Bobby Kennedy and JFK launched the largest war against organized crime that America has ever seen. It was an immense war. Convictions and arrests went up hundreds of percent. They really beefed up the force there, and I've talked to some of those mafia prosecutors, one of whom has come out strongly supporting the book. And so the mafia literally had no choice. They didn't have Cuba to flee back to anymore, and Castro had pretty much ruined that as far as being the high-class gambling mecca. It had been in the
Isle of Pines, sure.
And so the mafia literally, I mean, Bobby was prosecuting these guys, and it was the mafia families of Chicago, Tampa, and Louisiana and East Texas that came together and killed JFK, trying first in Chicago, 3 weeks before Dallas, an attempt covered up except for a few rumors for 30 or 40 years. Then again in Tampa, Florida, 4 days before Dallas, the hometown of Florida godfather Santo Trafficante, an attempt we revealed in our book for the first time, even though it's confirmed by newspaper and law enforcement accounts. And then finally they succeeded in Dallas, which was the territory of Louisiana godfather Carlos Marcello. So it was really Johnny Roselli, Santo Trafficante, and Carlos Marcello. Sam Giancana couldn't have an active role because Bobby Kennedy had him under such intense surveillance and prosecution. But Roselli was his number one lieutenant in Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and Roselli was working for the mafia.
Lamar, we got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. We're talking about the Kennedy assassination. The documentary airs on the Discovery Channel Thursday night, 9 p.m. Check your local listings. It's called Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination. And we're talking with Lamar Waldron, who collaborated with our friend Tom Hartman on this project. More coming up in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792. Or if you're calling from a grassy knoll, use our toll-free line at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
In appreciation of the hard work and selfless dedication of mothers everywhere, and in honor of Mother's Day, Angelina's Bakery, Deli and Cafe on Fremont Avenue in Seaside invites you to participate in a Mother's Day raffle. Prizes include a gift basket, a cake that will serve 20 people generously, and a beautiful floral arrangement. Visit Angelina's this week to enter the raffle and guarantee a chance to win. A wonderful Mother's Day gift specially delivered by Angelina's Bakery. And remember, the total bill on every food order at Angelina's between now and Mother's Day will be discounted 10%. Treat yourself to the best. Visit Angelina's today at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, just across from Craig and Auto Parts in Seaside. Angelina's Bakery wishes you the very best for Mother's Day and every day.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Rio 5 SX, a fuel-efficient subcompact that's affordable for even a first-time car buyer. The Kia has a fuel-injected 1.6-liter four-cylinder engine and a four-speed automatic. It keeps right up with the big dogs. Like many Americans, I've been skeptical of the quality of Korean-made cars. But I have to tell you, they're getting better, and the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty is very attractive. My Rio has all the accessories you'd expect in a low-end Nissan or Honda, like AC, power windows and locks, and a decent stereo. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Rio 5 gets 29 miles in the city, 38 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $16,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And it's a rare opportunity to trot this one out from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives. This is New Order. It's called Johnny, 1963, and that's about as close as it comes to a reference to the Kennedy assassination. We continue with Lamar Waldron. As we mentioned, the documentary Conspiracy Files JFK Assassination debuts tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel. That's Thursday night, and it's at 9 p.m., we believe, Eastern and Pacific time, but do confirm that in your local listings or just ask TiVo to do it for you. Lamar, before the break, you were detailing that there were three attempts to assassinate Kennedy by mobsters, or at least engineered by mobsters, before they succeeded in Dallas on November 22nd, a Friday, in 1963. We all, those of us who were alive at that time, cannot forget that day and the time that we learned of the news of the assassination. And I can recall being glued to the TV set the entire weekend, and my brothers and I actually watched the assassination of the assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, by a kind of bizarre and offbeat strip club owner named Jack Ruby. And that was a first alarm bell for many of us that this story just didn't add up. What was Ruby's role, and how was he connected to the mobsters you described earlier?
Well, Ruby was a gangster from Chicago, had grown up there, had known Johnny Roselli in Los Angeles, had made frequent trips looking for dancers for his club to Tampa, Florida, and had done a lot of work for Carlos Marcello, the godfather of Louisiana and East Texas, who did control Dallas. So Ruby was an ideal person, not just for Dallas, to ensure that the assassin could be silenced. But even in Chicago, where Pierre Salinger told me about, and I was able to find some written documentation on it, Jack Ruby had been in Chicago a week before the assassination attempt there and had gotten $7,000 from an associate of Jimmy Hoffa, who also wanted JFK dead and Bobby off his back, but couldn't participate directly because he was under so much pressure, but he could contribute that money. I think what's important to look at is, you know, how could the mafia expect to get away with this? You know, I mean, wouldn't Bobby go after them? Wouldn't the government? How could they cover so much stuff up? And that really gets to the crux of what people will see on the Discovery Channel tomorrow night or at our website, ultimatesacrificethebook.com, or in the book. And what we reveal for the very first time, something withheld from the Warren Commission and from Congress, but proved by hundreds of pages of documents from the National Archives, is that John and Robert Kennedy had a secret, never-before-revealed plan to stage a coup against Castro and invade Cuba on December the 1st, 1963. Now, that's just 10 days after he was scheduled to get back from Dallas.
Yeah.
So that plan, codenamed AM World, by the CIA, a term you will find in no government report, not the Warren Commission, but people will see those declassified documents tomorrow night. It was so secret, the Kennedys, you know, it couldn't be known that we were getting ready to overthrow Castro and invade Cuba at that time. Yeah. Those kind of plots didn't become widely known for another 10 or 15 years.
Now, Lamar, we don't have time to establish the timeline, and you'll do that in the television documentary tomorrow. But just one other question out of sequence. There was an attempt to kill Castro using mafia hitmen, and I believe Giancana was involved in one of those plots.
That's true, and Roselli, and Trafficante, and Marcello, and that's how they were able to infiltrate the Kennedys' top-secret coup plan, using those mafia connections. And then they used portions of the top-secret coup plan to try and kill JFK in Chicago, then in Tampa, then in Dallas, thus forcing the government, including Bobby Kennedy and LBJ, to cover up crucial information. There was one more Chicago connection left, though. There was a Chicago Secret Service agent, America's first black presidential Secret Service agent, who would help protect JFK in Chicago. JFK had to cancel that motorcade 3 weeks before Dallas because four gunmen were at large. And he knew about the very similar Tampa attempt just 4 days before Dallas. It's been covered up for 40 years. When Abraham Bolden went to tell the Warren Commission in the spring of 1964 about the Chicago and Tampa attempts and other Secret Service laxity, he was arrested. He was framed by the mafia, by associates of Johnny Roselli, and sent to prison for 6 years, this fine, upstanding civil rights pioneer.
I got to jump. Excuse me, Lamar. I got to jump to a call before we run out of time. Dave, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Lamar. I respect the heck out of Tom, and I think you guys have dug up a lot of good information. But there is one component of this that does not compute, and that is to say that neither Castro nor the mafia would have any ability whatsoever to cover up as much as has been covered up now for 40 years. They would just not have that kind of capability. I think it's quite possible that the cartel powers of the time had called upon the mafia to make the hit for them. But
all right, let's get a quick comment. Just 30 seconds, Lamar. Go ahead.
Well, I can tell you for a fact, Bobby Kennedy, and there's plenty of testimony about this, was on the 17th floor of Bethesda Hospital. He was the man controlling the autopsy. And Bobby was with people up there. His close aide, David Powers, who talked to Tom Hartman, had been with another aide, the limo behind JFK, had seen the shots from the grassy knoll. So that's a great example of Bobby Kennedy covering up at the autopsy, and it was Bobby and John Kennedy that covered up the Tampa assassination attempt for 40 years. That wasn't LBJ or shadowy generals.
Lamar, I wish we had more time. Thank you for your work, and I'm looking forward to see the program tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel. Thursday night, Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination, 9 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology.
The MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day. In-house, for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our Lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, reality radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
This Sunday, many of you will celebrate Mother's Day. On Childhood Matters radio show, we'll focus on stepmoms. I'm Nurse Rona, and I invite you to call us and tell us what's terrific about the stepmom in your family. Let's celebrate these often unsung heroes.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
From the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. And we are oozing eastward, now serving Phoenix, Arizona and Sacramento, California. Get more information if it's a who-he situation. You can find out more about your humble host at peterbcollins.com. That's where you can access our archive programs, live stream, and send an email to me. As you know, America is confronting energy problems, and you don't have to be reminded of how much you are facing at the pump. Also, over this past winter, we had huge variables in the price of heating oil and natural gas. And it's fair to say that America's energy policy in this one-party rule era is very much under the control of the industries that benefit most. And we've seen a relaxation of regulation. We've also seen a kind of anything-goes attitude in Washington. This half hour, we want to get some perspectives in particular on natural gas and the tension between the citizens of New Mexico and the companies which wish to extract that gas and make a profit in the process. Joining us now is Joanna Prukop. She is the Cabinet Secretary to Governor Bill Richardson in New Mexico, and she heads the New Mexico Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources Department. And as Cabinet Secretary, she oversees the State Parks, Forestry, the Oil Conservation Division, Mining and Minerals Division, Energy Conservation and Management Division, and she has a lengthy and impressive resume. She spent 26 years working for the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish. And I didn't find any reference to the Rocky Mountain Legal Foundation, James Watt, Gail Norton, or that guy Griles, Stephen Griles. Joanna, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Peter. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, I'm just slightly jealous that you work in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in that beautiful Capitol building with all that incredible indigenous art.
It is a lovely place, and it is very unique. We call it the Roundhouse, sometimes the Merry Roundhouse, depending on how crazy things get during our legislative session.
Well, I had a merry time because we had a family reunion in Santa Fe last August, and your governor was kind enough and perhaps foolish enough to invite me over, and I brought 11 family members of three generations. And we had a wonderful visit with Bill Richardson, and it was just so kind of him to indulge us.
Well, as you probably learned that day, he really likes people, and he enjoys having guests. I'm certainly sure that he enjoyed seeing so many generations come visit.
Well, and he even got some free advice from my mom.
I'm sure he did. He welcomes that, too. And, you know, he's very good at remembering people. He would likely remember her should he meet her again.
Well, what is it like for you to be an energy secretary to a guy who has a pretty rich history as the national secretary of energy at the cabinet level?
Well, it's actually pretty demanding, since you ask, because of exactly that history that he has and experience he has in energy. As a result, he knows a great deal about my business, which is a good thing, but sometimes can be a taxing thing because he knows what he wants and he knows when he wants it. So we are very busy here in New Mexico because we are a very active state in oil and gas exploration and development. The governor does have a long history in dealing with those topics at the national level and certainly in some respects looking at it at the international level. And Bill Richardson is very clear here in New Mexico in recognizing how important the oil and gas industry is to our state, especially in terms of our state budget, since so much of our general fund money comes from taxes and royalties coming from the oil and gas business. At the same time, as I hope people in your listening area are aware, he's very aggressive in the area of renewable energy, alternative fuels, and energy efficiency. So we really do try to strike a balance in regard to what we promote here in our state and in terms of how we are looking to the future to meet our energy needs. A big part of our agenda in relation to promoting renewables and alternative fuels is extending the life of our fossil fuels as long as we can, while at the same time working toward energy independence.
And give us a quick sketch of the landscape there in New Mexico. You have a large chunk of federally controlled lands managed by the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. And then there are leases to both ranchers and those who want to drill for the resources under that land.
That's
so there's also some tension between the state and the federal government.
Yes, there are in several respects. One is, yes, New Mexico is about 34% public land, federal public lands. That's mostly BLM, as you mentioned, and U.S. Forest Service. And then we have an additional 9 million acres of state trust land. And of that, we actually have a greater amount of state trust land that is in mineral lease. We have about 13 million acres of state mineral lease. And so what, as you may be aware also, in terms of those federal acreages, the BLM controls all of the mineral interests under that 34% federal public land. At the same time, we have more acreage of mineral in New Mexico that is also federal. So we actually have more federal mineral than we have federal surface.
And just to complicate it one level further, you have a lot of Indian tribes who at least have claims to the surface, if not the surface and the resources underneath.
That's correct. We have 23 different tribes and pueblos, 19 pueblos, and the others are tribes. And so it does get very complicated, and it leads to one of the issues that you're referring to, and that is the split estate issue, where the surface might indeed be private property, mm-hmm. but the mineral interest beneath is federal, and so the BLM leases those mineral rights to development companies, and then what you have is a conflict between the surface owners, many of whom unfortunately sometimes don't even realize that the mineral interest takes priority over the surface interest, and perhaps in a community somebody moved in, bought some private acreage, planning to build a retirement home there, and the next thing they know, the minerals have been leased by the federal government or another owner. Someone comes in because they can and puts up a drilling rig within 300 feet of their home or mm-hmm. next to their stock tank for cattle or something like that. And each of these oil companies, whether they're a major or one of our larger independents or one of the companies that we sometimes refer to as a mom and pop, which is a much smaller development company, often have land managers whose job it is to go visit with the surface owner and negotiate a surface agreement with the surface owner, mm-hmm. although it's true, there's nothing in state or federal law that requires that. It has become a business practice in our state, as it is in many others, because without that sort of negotiated surface agreement, sometimes it's led to lawsuits and other kinds of things where the property owner tries to get restitution or some satisfaction because an oil and gas developer has come onto their property, mm-hmm. perhaps not been very sensitive to the surface owner's concerns, run roughshod over them, and then they get sued. So mm-hmm. A more common practice these days, especially among the major oil companies and the larger independents, is to indeed have a land management program where they negotiate with surface owners to settle any concerns about damages to the surface. Sometimes, the majority of cases probably, they can work something out. They don't always, mm-hmm. because there's a difference in perception in regard to the value of surface damage to that property owner versus what the oil company may feel they actually have to pay.
Understood. That's Joanna Prukop. She is Bill Richardson, Governor Richardson, Secretary of Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources in the state of New Mexico. And now, riding in from stage right, we have New Mexico rancher Tweety Blansett. What's the name of your horse there, Tweety?
Rocket.
Rocket?
Yes. And you didn't think I was going to have a horse, did you? But I do, because I'm really a rancher.
Six
generations under our belt.
And among other things, you are a lifelong Republican and a board member of Republicans for Environmental Protection. Welcome
yes,
to our
we
program,
are.
Tweety.
Thank you.
And the Secretary just outlined for our listeners who don't know much about the management of both the surface and the underground resources in New Mexico. She gave us a good sketch of the, you know, various legalities, who controls what. Now, tell us from your hands-on experience with your husband, Lynn, as a rancher, you graze your flocks or herds on leased land from the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, and I suppose from the State Trust. Is that correct?
Yes. We have 5 sections of state leased land for grazing, and we have almost 50 sections of federal grazing lease. And it's been in our family for 6 generations. It's about 32,000 acres total that we have been charged with the stewardship of for 6 generations, since the 1800s.
Now, you just wrote in here a minute ago, and we've just met here, but can I jump to a conclusion that as a lifelong Republican, you're just delighted with the way the Bush administration has managed our resources, in particular our energy resources?
I probably wouldn't use the term delighted if I were describing how I feel.
All right. Then use your own words. How do you feel?
Republican, I can say I'm certainly not delighted with how the administration has approached this problem, but I have to be real fair on this. Under the Clinton administration, it wasn't a whole lot better.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is in New Mexico, and I'm sure Joanna can give you more specific numbers for the entire state, but in San Juan County, which is about the size of the state of Connecticut, last year, our county generated better than $8 billion and Severance Resources, we provide 7% of the nation's natural gas. We're talking about big bucks.
Yeah, you're keeping the lights on in California.
Yes, we are, and throughout the West. we're contributing anyway.
All right.
So it's not just this administration. It's administration that has sought in the past to render resources in San Juan County. And having been on the land for all these generations, there has been oil and gas drilling since the 1950s. So it's mm-hmm. not a new thing to us.
Yeah.
And we had a good partnership with oil and gas, whether it's a Republican administration or it's a Democrat administration, mm-hmm. until recently.
Tweety, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear what some of those problems are, where the conflict areas are, and we'll ask Secretary Prukop to also help guide us on what some potential resolutions are. That's Tweety Blanchett. She's a rancher in New Mexico. We're also talking with Joanna Prukop, who is the governor's cabinet secretary in New Mexico, Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources. If you have a question or comment, you can join us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call us toll-free from the North Coast or anywhere else on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that the pagan and the abortionist and the feminist and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at high levels of our government. And so
believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. This half hour, we're taking a look at energy issues in the great state of New Mexico.
Our guests include Joanna Prukop. She's the Cabinet Secretary for Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources in the state of New Mexico. And rancher Tweety Blanchett, who also is a board member of Republicans for Environmental Protection. And Tweety, just before the break, you were telling us about over the years that both Democrats and Republicans have been weak on enforcing some of the regulations regarding extraction of oil and gas from the lands, particularly those that you lease for surface grazing of your herds. Describe for us some of the conflicts that have developed.
Probably the best way to describe the conflict is the fact that out of the 32,000 acres, 17,000 acres on this ranch is impacted by pipelines. Mm-hmm. There's 800 miles of road and better than 500 well sites. And the pasture fragmentation that has occurred as a result of oil and gas industry has made it completely impossible to run a ranch operation. The gates are down, the cattle guards are down, the noxious weeds are just unbelievable. But if you take and put that into a broader perspective, there's better than 35,000 wells in San Juan County with two surface inspectors from the federal government and one from the state government. There's no way that anyone can keep track of the surface damage or even force reclamation. With that,
and has there ever been a robust enforcement?
Always before the late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. there was such a partnership between oil and gas and the rancher that we didn't have the problems. The companies were responsive to their neighbors, and they were neighbors, mm-hmm. and we worked together. But that isn't the case today. The corporate philosophy is completely different.
From your perspective, are you able to work with some of these extractors, either A, because they're on federal lands, not state lands, or on state lands, not federal lands? Does that make a difference in how they cooperate with you based on the contracts and the leases?
We have one good operator out of eight, and that operator is on both federal and state lands, and they run a real, real good operation. Or have in the past. They just acquired another company that was our worst operator, so they've got some real catching up to do. But it doesn't matter whether it's on state land, private land, our private land, or the federal land. It's all treated the same by these major corporations.
Can this intrusion to your ranching be reduced to a certain amount of money? If they wrote you a check every year, would that cover the problems, the complications that they're creating?
I think if there was compensation to the ranchers other than our ranch is in the fairway of the largest coal bed methane field in entire North America. So it's beyond the pale. And you can't compensate when something's gone that has been built over six generations.
Sure.
But there can be compensation for ranches that have a minimum impact but still have to share the land with an industry that's making record profits. Mm-hmm. And in many, many cases across the Rocky Mountain West, not just in New Mexico, tremendous abuse is occurring. But what we've asked both the state government and the federal government to do is to relocate us to another ranch, because that's what we are. We're ranchers.
Mm-hmm. That's Tweety Blanchett, a rancher in New Mexico. We're also talking with Joanna Prukop, the cabinet secretary for Governor Richardson. And, Joanna, I would assume that Tweety's complaints here are not isolated.
No, they aren't. And we have a number of areas within our state where the split estate issues are increasing in intensity, and certainly I'm sure it's happening in other parts of the West. Tweety's case up there in the Four Corners area of New Mexico is particularly hard to deal with in terms of understanding the impacts to ranchers up there, unless you kind of put in perspective what's happening there. As Tweety indicated, that area of our state has been the number one coal bed methane production area in the nation for several years, and still is this year, although we may be losing out in the not-too-distant future to production from the Powder River Basin in Wyoming. But we have existing there in that area of Farmington, Bloomfield, Aztec, New Mexico, over 29,000 wells right now. And as that well field matures, the BLM has authorized another approximately 10,000 wells to go into that area for infill drilling to continue to extract the remaining gas from that large basin. And so a lot of what's happening there, as Tweedy's been relating, is just intensity of development. And the number of companies that are in there, the number of service companies, the number of subcontractors and everything is larger than it's ever been. And so a lot of the surface issues get disregarded. The other thing about surface restoration that makes it very hard for ranchers is we're in a drought situation in this state and have been for a number of years. So even if the Bureau of Land Management or our state agency or the state land office requires reseeding and revegetation of well pads and or pipelines after they're put in and that kind of thing, it's simply not occurring because there's not the water to have that restoration be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so the situation on the landscape only gets worse, not better.
And so, Secretary, do you see a legislative resolution here where, given the high profits that these producers are enjoying, they could certainly afford to pay fees into a settlement fund or even directly to ranchers like Tweedy and Lynn Blancett to pay for the damage that they've caused?
There's a small project of that sort that's been being done voluntarily by some of the operators up there where they contribute to a fund primarily to try to develop some revegetation efforts that work. Aside from that, we have had, and Tweedy can speak to this as well, we've had an effort in our last session, and Governor Richardson certainly supports some kind of state legislation that would help close the gap between what's happening on the surface and what the monetary and other value impacts are to the surface owners. That legislation was not successful in the last session of our legislature in January and February of 2006. I'm certain that we will see another bill come forward in our next legislative session in the early 2007. The governor will again be very supportive of that. One of the things we fight at the state and national level is a history and a legacy, as I mentioned earlier, that gives priority use to the mineral interest. And I would like to see some movement at the national level as well to give more recognition to the surface interest through our federal laws, procedures, and policies.
Mm-hmm.
At the state level, we will continue to support some improvement of some sort in state law of that nature.
And Tweedy, just about a minute remaining, what is your best set of proposals to resolve these issues?
I agree with Joanna that we need to be looking at the federal level. And we have in place, and it was carried by one of our senators from New Mexico, a Democrat, Jeff Bingaman, it was the Surface Mining Reclamation Act in the 80s, which cleaned up the mines from coast to coast and border to border. And there's going to be a huge movement across the West for a Surface Oil and Gas Reclamation Act at the federal level, mm-hmm. as well as Joanna also mentioned, our state and local surface bills and regulations at the surface at the local level. There are several counties in northeastern New Mexico that have already passed very good regulations to help mm-hmm. protect the land and the water and the people.
Okay, I wish we had more time. I've got to stop this here, but it also sounds like you need more enforcement both at the federal and state levels. Tweedy, I want to thank you for coming forward and joining us here today. And Secretary Prukop, thank you as well. Please give my regards to your governor.
Oh, I certainly will, Peter. I'll be sure to mention you to him, and thank you for having me.
All right,
thank you,
Tweedy.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Eleanor Smeal from Ms. Magazine about those sweatshops on Saipan and how they're connected to Tom DeLay and Richard Pombo. That's ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show, right here.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
4 years in prison for the deadly Rhode Island nightclub fire.
I know that there's nothing that I can say or do that will ever undo what happened that night.
Another Fed rate hike, but will the string be broken soon?
They're going to possibly pause.
This is Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Dan Beakley, former tour manager for the rock band Great White, has been sentenced to 4 years in prison for his role in the 2003 nightclub fire that claimed 100 lives. Beakley illegally lit the pyrotechnics that ignited flammable foam in the walls and ceiling. He pleaded guilty to 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter, and today he delivered a tearful apology in court.
Since the fire, I wanted to tell the victims and their families how truly sorry I am for what happened that night and the part that I had in it.
Prosecutors had called for the maximum prison sentence, 10 years, but accepted the judge's decision. Rhode Island Attorney General Patrick Lynch says no punishment could provide solace for the victims' families.
People come into this process looking for closure, thinking because of maybe what they see or read on TV, whether it's TV shows or the news, that they're going to get closure in these buildings. That didn't happen just now.
The judge told Dan Beakley his hardest sentence is having to live with the consequences of his actions. Now this.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
12, 11, 10.
McCormick can't sleep because aches and pains are keeping her up. But she's not counting sheep. She's counting the days till new Advil PM is here. It's coming. The first and only PM with Advil. Get multi-pain relieving power combined with a non-habit-forming sleep aid to gently ease you to sleep. New Advil PM. Look for it beginning May 15th. Use only as directed. Available at participating retailers.
Federal Reserve policymakers raised benchmark interest rates by 0.25% today and hinted that they might be done for a while. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
No surprise, this 16th straight rate hike, and while the Fed again says that more increases might be needed, it adds some new language that spells out
the timing of future rate increases will depend on incoming data.
To Johnson Illington Chief Investment Officer Hugh Johnson and many other analysts, that's a signal the Fed is considering taking a break.
If the data tells them to stop or to pause, they'll stop and they'll pause.
For consumers and businesses, the cost of borrowing has been climbing since the Fed first started raising rates nearly 2 years ago. That hasn't stifled the economy. The Fed says so far this year, economic growth has been, quote, quite strong. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Republican tax cut package just passed the House.
On this vote, the yeas are 244, the nays are 185. The conference report is adopted.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports on the debate.
Illinois Republican Jerry Weller said extending tax cuts is the right thing to do for the economy.
This policy has worked in creating jobs. This policy has worked to help regular people keep more of what they earn.
But New York Democrat Charles Rangel said lower-income Americans will get very little benefit from the bill.
Clearly, we're talking about $70 billion, or at least 50 of that, going to the richest people that we have in this country.
The bill continues a lower 15% tax rate for capital gains and dividends for 2 more years. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Whirlpool, which recently acquired rival appliance maker Maytag for $1.7 billion, has announced plans to shut down 3 plants and consolidate corporate offices. 4,500 jobs will be eliminated. Medical malpractice suits get some of the blame for the high cost of health care. Are they justified? CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick has the latest.
A new Harvard study finds many medical malpractice suits should never have been filed.
We found that about a third didn't seem to be grounded in a documented case of error.
But researcher David Studdard finds most of these cases never end in a payout.
When you followed those cases through and looked at how they turned out, the system appears to have got it right about three-quarters of the time.
The study also found it's expensive to file a malpractice suit, and they take, on average, 5 years to resolve, and about half of every dollar awarded goes to cover legal fees. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, our weekly visit with investigative journalist Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She is working hard on the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. We'll talk about the love letter from Tehran and the saber-rattling at the United Nations by Secretary Rice yesterday. And next hour, we throw it open for the Free Speech Zone. Your comments on any issue from any viewpoint. Joining us this half hour is a woman who's struggled for more than 30 years for the rights of women in this country. One of the founders of Ms. Magazine, and I believe she still serves on the board there. She is Eleanor Smeal. Ellie Smeal, welcome to our program, Ms. Smeal.
Yeah, hi. Nice talking to you.
Well, it's good to have you, and thank you. I wanted to get your take because Ms. Magazine has published a powerful article that ties together the sweatshops in the Mariana Islands with the politics of the Republicans in Washington, most notably Tom DeLay and Richard Pombo, who heads the House Resources Committee. We're going to come back to those two characters in a bit. But first, this powerful article in the current issue of Ms. Magazine, written by Rebecca Claren, is called Paradise Lost and subtitled Greed, Sex Slavery, Forced Abortions, and Right-Wing Moralists. Give us a quick sketch of the scene in the Northern Mariana Islands.
Well, what's going on is that there's a lot of sweatshops, factories, garment factories, making clothes really for name brands here in the United States. And they can put on the label that it's either made in the United States. More recently, they're saying made in Mariana Islands with USA in parentheses after it, or Saipan with parentheses USA after it. And so people think it's USA, but the reality is it's imported, trafficked Chinese and Philippine immigrants into the Mariana Islands, which is a territory of the United States. And what's happened is Congress has made them an exception to our labor laws, so they do not come under the United States minimum wage, and they do not come under fully our immigration laws, so that these women, and it's mostly women, can be exploited. And they are frequently made to work off the clock, long, long hours, and very little pay. And when I say they're trafficked, they think they're coming to the United States because it's a USA territory,
mm-hmm.
but really they pay $5,000 to $7,000 to come to work under horrible conditions. And Rebecca went there; she's an investigative reporter, and said, examine the conditions today, because some people have said they have improved a lot. They have improved some, but essentially because of Jack Abramoff, the other name that we all now know in these congressional scandals, he was the lobbyist representing the islands and some of the garment factories to make sure they remained an exception and this kind of practice could go on.
Now, how far does this go back, the second class? It's not even citizenship, but the second class standards. The minimum wage, as the article points out, is only $3.15 in the Mariana Islands.
If they get it, because sometimes they're forced to work off the clock. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for decades. And what happened is that about 20 years or so, and what happened is in the Clinton years, they tried to change it, the Clinton administration, but it was blocked. That's when Abramoff comes in and gets the account in the mid-90s and makes sure that it's blocked in the House Resource Committee, any kind of reform.
Mm-hmm. And as you have delved into this, what are the American companies who are profiting most from sweatshop labor in these islands of the Pacific?
Well, it's not just one or two companies. Our people saw labels made by some of the biggest companies. Remember, they contract to factories. This is typical of these sweatshops, so that the American companies can deny. I mean, in other words, they can say they didn't own it. But our folks saw labels there for name brands like Liz Claiborne or The Gap or Ralph Lauren. Our J. Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, our people saw was Ann Teller and J. Jill. But there's been many companies there. So we zeroed in on the practices because we feel that Congress should change them. I mean, there's something that can be done. And basically, it shouldn't go on like this. By the way, it's getting worse in another way because they can now find even cheaper labor in other places. Some of these folks are being really recruited into sex trafficking. In other words, there's a lot of sex tourism in this part of the world, too.
And so, of course, since they let's just put it in context, because you described how they have to pay what we call coyotes when they come over the Mexican border, but they have to pay a facilitator to uh-huh. get them the job in Saipan. They go there, and they earn substandard wages.
Right.
And
terrible working conditions,
they
too.
Have to pay rent and, you know,
right.
pay for their expenses. So they basically get underwater financially and mm-hmm. never really have a way to hit the surface,
right.
to butcher that metaphor.
And, right.
So they turn in what isn't a lot of spare time to prostitution the only hope of generating more of an income.
Right, and if they complain, they're under constant threat. They'll be deported back to their country of origin. And, of course, they got into debt trying to, you know, pay the trafficker, so now they owe the trafficker. Their family was dependent on the income they could send home. So they become docile because they feel they can't complain. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, I'm looking at the article now, starting in 1995 and up to the present day, 29 different attempts in Washington have
right.
been made to submit a legislation that would raise the minimum wage, close off this immigration exemption, or deny use of the Made in USA labels on products coming from there. And this is the first time, I think, in ages I've said something nice about Senator Frank Murkowski of Alaska.
Right.
But he has carried some of the legislation along with Ted Kennedy in the Senate and one of my favorite congressmen, George Miller from California.
Right. And actually, this is amazing. In the Senate, they passed in 2000 the reform bill out unanimously. So there was other Republicans involved, too. And but only to be blocked again in the House Resources Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just been no chance of reform with delays hammer. And, you know, Abramoff did all kinds of things. He brought over 100 members of Congress and their staffs. The combinations about 100, both staffs and members of Congress there. Mm-hmm. There was intense lobbying to keep it this way. And DeLay made some outrageous statements like that this is the petri dish of capitalism. He bragged on it so much that he said that the Mariana Islands guest workers program is a model that we should use for Mexican workers,
oh,
where you bring them in as guest workers and you pay them what the market will bear. No minimum wage we're talking here.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, what we're worried about is this word guest workers is now appearing again as we talk about immigration reform.
Right.
And people should realize that there is pressure from major corporations to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper labor. And here's a case where it's a USA territory, which we have allowed conditions that are just wretched to exist for years upon years upon years.
Elner Smeal here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the sweatshops in the Mariana Islands and the Republican intervention to keep them on this subpar level, exploit the laborers, mostly women, who are employed there, and reap profits for the American companies that benefit from this cheap labor source. And it's all at the expense of these individual women. And I know everybody thinks that we cleared this problem up when Kathy Lee Gifford cried on national TV. But it is with us today and in some ways worse than before. We'll continue in just a moment with Elner Smeal. If you have a question or comment, join us right now on the Central Coast. A line available, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S., 888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show, made in the USA. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Paraiso Vineyards' 5th Annual Air Show on May 13th. Call 831-678-0300 or go to the web at paraisovineyards.com.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic this afternoon, 419, and here's Amy Knight.
Well, a few things to talk about. Let's start with the good news. Castroville Boulevard at Collins Road, at two-car collision was just cleared within the last 2 minutes. Also in Castroville, a minor problem, Monte Del Largo at 156. A big rig was trying to back out and got stuck in the middle of the roadway. It looks like Highway Patrol is on the way to try and direct traffic around the big rig. That's Monte Del Lago at 156. Otherwise, Del Monte Avenue between Sloat and Camino El Estro in Monterey, Public Works resurfacing the lanes and fixing storm drains. And traffic heavy in the area. It's time to show Mom just how much you love her. It's time for Mother's Day at Sears. And, of course, the Mother's Day sale at Sears ends 5/13/06. Amy and I with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We Democrats lost the last election, and to our party things did not look right. But now our long despair is done. We look good by comparison to one guy on the right. What a difference delay makes. Though the left lacks excitement, they don't have an indictment like that guy Tom DeLay. He denies depictions, says it's all crucifixion. He's a man with convictions, or he will be someday. When you hear Tom DeLay speak from positions of power, you feel you need a shower, and his wife needs a raise, though some may fight him.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Tom DeLay, Jack Abramoff, and the sweatshops in Saipan, the Mariana Islands in the Pacific. And here's a quote from Tom DeLay after visiting Saipan in 1998. He told the Dallas Observer, "When one of my closest and dearest friends, Jack Abramoff, your most able representative in Washington, invited me to the islands, I wanted to see firsthand the free market success and the progress and reform you have made. You're a shining light for what is happening in the Republican Party, and you represent everything that is good about what we're trying to do in America in leading the world in the free market system." Ellie Smeal, does that kind of activate your gag reflex?
Yeah, it's something else, isn't it? And considering when you realize what's there.
Yeah.
And when you now know what's with Jack Abramoff and what has been going on, it's all too much.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let me read another couple of paragraphs from this powerful article in Ms. Magazine to give our listeners a glimpse of what life is like. To find the dark underbelly of DeLay's shining light, simply cross a busy Saipan street and walk a few yards down a dirt road. At 10:30 p.m., knots of Chinese women are just getting off work at a nearby garment factory and making their way through the steady rain that slices the black night. These women eschew the more expensive factory-owned barracks in favor of tiny homes constructed of corrugated tin with thin wooden doors. In one tin dwelling, three women share a queen-size bed that rests on a slab of concrete. The smell of frying vegetables wafts from the kitchen. A few hot plates and water-filled plastic buckets set outside on a concrete counter. Nine people share one toilet. As they cluster outside near a thin clothesline that doubles as a closet, one woman says she's worked here for 2 years and is nowhere near to paying back the money to her recruiter. The others shake their heads in agreement. Their fear is palpable. They're afraid to use their names or be photographed, even from the back. Quote, "I heard that the lender might break my family's legs if I don't pay the money soon. I worry about it a lot," said one 35-year-old Chinese woman. "I can't imagine how long it will take to pay the money back. It's very hard to be here. The only foods I can afford to buy are rice and some very cheap pre-cooked vegetables. My teeth are always bleeding," she says, her eyes like wet stone. That's really troubling, and Americans seem so blithe in this Walmart era that all that matters is low price, and they don't care about the origins of the things that they buy and the life of the people who make it.
Yeah, what we've done is we put the plantation and the indentured servants out of servitude, those in indentured servitude out of sight. And what we wanted to do here, and first we wanted to check the facts to make sure what was happening. That's why we sent a team there. But in addition, once we saw what was happening, we wanted people to see that these scandals in Congress have real human impact.
Yeah.
That real people are suffering.
Right. And a lot of people think that it's just a kind of inside game where,
right,
you know, Republicans are jockeying for position over Democrats,
right,
and so they take money from K Street and Jack Abramoff. But most people think that it's either benign or that it just goes on all the time, so who cares?
That's right. What's been in the papers mainly is about casinos, and it seems like it's just, you know, money that doesn't impact real people. And I think that one of the reasons we as women, this is a magazine that reaches more women than men, although we do have male readers too, obviously,
sure,
is that we wanted them to know when you look, when you're going to buy clothes, look at the label. See where it is. And in Marianas and Saipan, there's real human suffering going on. And you might think you got a bargain by getting something cheap, but then remember who's paying for it. So it gets us both ways. We have responsibility because these policies that our Congress are by inaction and action are letting them occur should be changed. And we can do something as citizens, and we certainly can do something as consumers by being wiser buyers and demanding something more than low price. I mean, it's tragic. And I'm glad that we had somebody that was willing to go there and see and interview and try to get the story out.
And it's important to note, too, the article does list information on how people can take action and express their support,
right,
for fundamental issues like increasing the minimum wage to the domestic continental U.S. level. And these do, you're asking people to contact both Democrats and Republicans.
And Republicans, yes.
So there is sensitivity to these issues. It's not that all Republicans are like Tom DeLay, but clearly, when we look at people like Richard Pombo here in California, who chairs the powerful House Committee, the Resources Committee, mm-hmm, and he very clearly has been in concert with DeLay and Abramoff in keeping the lid on the troubling situation in these islands.
And before him, there was another chair. So essentially, we have to just get the story out. We have to put pressure on. People should know what's going on. And that real people, I mean, I think that as you read that very powerful passage, are suffering. I mean, just suffering like dogs. I mean, no one should have to be treated like this.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to stop it. I mean, there's so many different ways we can stop it. Here, this is an easy thing. We could pass reform legislation and to change the minimum wage laws there, to change the treatment. It's really just merely an act of Congress. Now, then it has to be enforced. The other thing that's happened, of course, is that they've made enforcement of these kinds of rules more difficult by reducing the money going to the enforcement agencies,
right,
and
yeah,
the number of people doing it. But we've got to just recognize, I mean, every time we talk about sweatshops, some employers are getting away with very, very, very cheap prices, cheap prices for labor, and exploitation, and it's hurting real people, and we're part of it.
Yeah.
We're part of this vicious circle. That's why we have bare responsibility to do something. We try to put a call, if we can, in articles, we try to put some action down. You don't just mm-hmm have to say, oh, isn't that too bad, and turn the page.
Right.
You can do something.
Eleanor Smeal, thank you for your work on this and all the issues you've taken on over the years. I'm very proud to talk with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And the article's in the current issue of Ms. Magazine. I hope you'll pick it up and read it. And then, as she says, go ahead and not just turn the page, do something about it. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna on Iran here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombie's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombie has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage, and looking forward to working with you.
Don't miss me, Air America radio host Tom Hartman, as I expose a top-secret CIA plan, codenamed AM World, on nationwide TV Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. In Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination, a program produced by NBC for the Discovery Channel, I'll reveal CIA documents about a top-secret JFK plan to stage a coup against Fidel Castro that led directly to JFK's own death. Tune in Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tom Hartman, that's me, on the Discovery Channel. There's a link at the top of TomHartman.com and AirAmericaRadio.com.
In appreciation of the hard work and selfless dedication of mothers everywhere, and in honor of Mother's Day, Angelina's Bakery, Deli and Cafe on Fremont Avenue in Seaside invites you to participate in a Mother's Day raffle. Prizes include a gift basket, a cake that will serve 20 people generously, and a beautiful floral arrangement. Visit Angelina's this week to enter the raffle and guarantee a chance to win. A wonderful Mother's Day gift specially delivered by Angelina's Bakery. And remember, the total bill on every food order at Angelina's between now and Mother's Day will be discounted 10%. Treat yourself to the best. Visit Angelina's today at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, just across from Craig and Auto Parts in Seaside. Angelina's Bakery wishes you the very best for Mother's Day and every day.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're attempting to rock the nation. And it ain't easy.
We live in a mean time and an aggressive time. A painful time. A time where cynicism rocks the vine. And a time where violence blocks the summer shine. Lifetimes go by in a flash. In a search for love. In a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon. Everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune. Or be the backbone of a rebel.
Every week here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we get a visit from Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter and managing editor at RawStory.com. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. Where are we checking in from? Where are you checking in from today?
I'm back home.
You're
I'm
in
no
Florida?
Longer at an undisclosed location.
Well, it was interesting. Last week, you traded the small planes that often overfly your location with
uh-huh.
jet airplanes. We do notice your background.
Oh, okay.
And yes, with caller ID, we try to see, okay, where is she? Who's she talking to? What's going on? So let's
go. You have me all figured out.
Yeah, I want to talk mainly about Iran, but I'm still very curious. Jason Leopold's been maintaining some radio and email silence. He's in Washington, D.C., and I know that he is not alone now in expecting that any day we'll have an indictment of Karl Rove. We're just not sure exactly how many charges and what the counts might be.
He hasn't been alone. I mean, I've said that there's going to be an indictment, too, and I think others... Well, now in the mainstream, they're starting to chime in. But, yeah, there's going to be an indictment. And I actually heard today that there are multiple charges, although I haven't confirmed that yet. And but they will be less because he provided some of the information regarding that large amount of previously
emails.
Thought missing emails, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which were actually destroyed, so deleted, if you will.
So then if I were to speculate, Fitzgerald may be willing to cut him slack on obstruction of justice for that level of cooperation, but still feels pretty strongly that Rove lied to investigators and perjured himself before the grand jury.
Sure. I mean, I think that that's a fine speculation. I honestly don't know just what or how much of what Fitzgerald has on Rove. But whatever it is, the providing, evidence thought to be destroyed apparently wasn't enough. So that should indicate that I think it should be or looks to be more than just false statements or perjury.
Mm-hmm.
You might end up seeing obstruction of justice, but let's say, and I'm not an attorney, so, I'm speculating even without the benefit of any foundation whatsoever, but destroying evidence, for example,
right.
he won't be charged with that, but might be charged with obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how this works,
right.
But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And it's hard.
No, it's not.
I'm finding it hard. I want this story to come out. I want to hear about it.
Okay, I promise I will call you the moment I hear anything.
Okay, 24/7.
You got it.
I'm available. All right. Now, Larissa, yesterday on our program at this very time, we spent this half hour with Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force as a colonel.
Right.
And he has some very good sources on Iran. And one of the things he confirmed is what you have previously reported to us about the murky group called MEK. These are people we would define as terrorists, and we recruited them from Iraq to change their uniforms and move into Iran as kind of our advance posse. And Sam Gardner confirmed that. He also feels that actual U.S. soldiers are inside of Iran in the southern portion of that nation at
this time. In Balochistan, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. There's an advance team that's there.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we move on from MEK, I was reading Ross's story and saw that you drew a denial from Scott McClellan before he leaves the White House, referring to the allegations you had made about MEK. Tell us about that.
Right. He was asked at a White House briefing whether or not, it wasn't really a denial. It was more like, we haven't changed our policy, but he was asked whether or not we were employing various terrorist organizations
mm-hmm.
in Iran, including the MEK, and his answer was, our policy hasn't changed towards terrorist groups, which does not really answer the question, and so it was crafty as usual, but if anything, I think that pretty much confirms, at least for some of the mainstream, because the foreign press and the alternative press here is well aware of this. So perhaps the mainstream now will be more aggressive in pursuing this, because this is really dangerous what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just in March there was an attack by MEK in Iran that killed 22 people. That's a big number of people. And whether or not they were embedded with our troops or in any way affiliated with our military at the time of that particular attack it really causes problems. And I think that someone, certainly in Congress, I hope, will be taking this a little bit more seriously. So, and I'm glad Sam Gardner confirmed it. I actually spoke with him today. So.
Mm-hmm. He's a fascinating guy. And,
he really is. He is a fascinating guy. And he's commenting on an article I have for tomorrow, so I got to speak to him today.
Great. Well, then we're going to have to read tomorrow what you're unable to tell us today.
Well, I mean, essentially what he told you yesterday, my understanding is, about the three...
aircraft carriers?
Aircraft carriers, that's mm-hmm. correct. But I'm, you know, I mean, if you want to recap for your audience what it is that you guys discussed yesterday, you and he.
Yeah, let me do that, and then you can tell me if that is corroborated by your coverage,
okay.
your reporting. What he described is that we are planning an attack that would be primarily from the air, and he ticked off a number of target points. I think the number was in the range of 150 in the first wave. And what he suggested was that we are waiting for the second and third carriers to arrive. These are aircraft carriers, U.S. carriers,
mm-hmm.
In the region,
mm-hmm.
and that the USS Ronald Reagan is already there.
Right, and the Enterprise and the Abraham Lincoln are on their way. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's correct.
And the Abraham Lincoln probably still has that mission accomplished banner flying from the... The brig, or the what do you call
quite
it?
Possible.
The bridge.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. They're saving it up. The thing is, though, there's a lot of speculation about June, and I've heard it, and everyone I've talked to has heard it, but it's impossible to confirm. And again, the most likely time frame
mm-hmm.
is after the November election, and. According to at least other military sources, the assessment they did stresses no sooner than spring of 2007. So
mm-hmm.
It's hard to say at this point what's going on. We know that if this was March, this would have been a slam dunk kind of, yes, we're going in, because in March they gave it a 30-day window, the Bush administration, to have the United Nations Security Council all ready to go. You guys better do this. Here's 30 days. And if you don't find something, we're going in anyway, and blah, blah, blah. And they weren't able to convince the Security Council. And with the president's dropping approval numbers, it seems to be on hold for now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say when the two other aircraft carriers arrive, that story won't change, but again, you know, as far as I know, there has not been a finding done. There hasn't been any briefings done on this with senior members of Congress who would be in need of being informed of any such activity. So I don't believe this, barring any event.
The one criticism I would offer of the scenario that you just made is not criticizing you, but your belief that this administration would follow the rules.
I don't believe this administration would follow the rules. I absolutely do not believe that. However, and I don't think this administration cares about the members of Congress running for re-election either. So I don't think they're too concerned about, you know, adjusting their time frame for that, although Karl Rove may be concerned. But the point is that realistically, with the approval ratings where they are now, and conservatives jumping ship left and right, and Republicans wanting to hold hearings on a plethora of things that they hadn't wanted to before, to suddenly go and invade Iran without congressional approval would be enough for grounds for impeachment immediately. Forget November elections. This would be absolutely impeachable immediately. Barring, and I stress this because this keeps coming up in all my conversations, barring some immediate need, for example, a direct attack on U.S. soil or something of that nature.
Provocation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
I
do understand exactly what you're saying, and I want to be clear that what Sam Gardner said yesterday
mm-hmm.
was that it could be as soon as a couple of weeks from now,
mm-hmm.
but that it also could take place after the November elections, and probably
right.
probably between July and November, it would be seen as politically dangerous, even from the inside of the administration, to attempt this. But they do seem to have a reckless disregard for the consequences, not only in terms of domestic politics and the future of the Republican Party, but also, as we talk about this, the administration doesn't address the potential for Iran to respond. And it's as if we can go in there with cruise missiles and stealth bombers and throw all this at them from the air, and that they'll just sit there and say, oh, that wasn't nice.
Right, right. And then the assumption is, at least according to what's being discussed in terms of possible scenarios, is that there's going to be a sort of pause in which the U.S. Somehow disarms Iran or allows them to communicate with regard to retaliation and to tell them, no, no, just so you know, you can't hit us back during this pause, you know, this halt. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that Iran has allies, and those allies happen to hold our money.
Yeah.
So it's a problem on so many levels. And, yes, I agree, this administration has no interest in the law or its own party, and certainly Dick Cheney is very much gung-ho and wanting regime change no matter what.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. Larissa will return in a moment. We're going to take some phone calls, too. If you have a question or comment about the U.S. posture toward Iran, you can get on the line now. Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic. 447 now. Here's our superstar at Metro Traffic, Amy Knight.
Well, if you're traveling through Gilroy, you'll expect delays on Highway 152 approaching Poline Road. It's a major injury accident involving a head-on collision. Two vehicles involved. It looks like the eastbound lane partially blocked, so you're able to get through westbound. Traffic control in effect with emergency crews on scene. No medical helicopter on the way. You'll just find paramedics there, fire crews, and CHP, but nevertheless, it's still very, very slow as you make your way on Highway 152 this afternoon. 25 looking good if you want to use that as an alternate. 101, no problems to report, and it looks like Highway 1 along the coast checks in clear this afternoon. No delays reported so far through Moss Landing. And this report brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Mm-hmm. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we open up the phone lines for the Free Speech Zone. You can make a comment on any issue from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. That's the rules. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And we're talking primarily about the situation, the tension developing between the U.S. and Iran. And what do you make of the 18-page love letter filled with religious references from President Ahmadinejad to President Bush that was delivered through the Swiss embassy over the last few days?
Well, it jives with what I've reported before, and that is this isn't the first, you know, there's been many overtures of this nature for a period of time now that have all been rebuffed because, according to, you know, the sources I have, you know, Cheney and Rumsfeld essentially believe that it's a sign of weakness to even enter into discussions. So it's along the same lines. And again, you have Condoleezza Rice, you know, saying no, I don't care. It didn't address the real issues I have or we have, and again rebuffed. So what I find interesting though is that this is the first time we see it really being played out. Whereas before, all such overtures were done through, you know, back channels that would the public wasn't privy to.
So, well, and all of this creates problems for a guy like me because I'm not a fan of the Ayatollah regime in Iran, and I think this Ahmadinejad is a very reckless and at least rhetorically he's irresponsible and provocative in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm aware of the hypocritical stance the U.S. has taken, essentially that we've declared Iran to be a rogue nation that therefore cannot be trusted with nuclear power or nuclear weapons. And we look really stupid in that position because we permit Pakistan and India and, you know, we've tried to buy off the Turks for their support of an adventure in Iran with support for nuclear power there. And so we're oblivious to these inconsistencies and outright contradictions that as we try to deny Iran's development of a nuclear capability, we offer the same thing as a reward to people who would help us take these guys out.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the same thing as some terrorists are okay, you know. We're out chasing or presumably chasing Al-Qaeda, but MEK, they're okay because we can use them right now. I mean, this is an administration of hypocrisy from, you know, name a topic. I mean, any topic you pick, there's a, you know, a sort of a double-faced kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say about on the last point on Sam Gardner.
Sure.
I just want to make clear, I don't disagree with him in that what I'm finding certainly in terms of capability, we could be ready to go in June. That is correct. And his assessment in terms of how it would be done, everyone agrees that that would be the likely methodology or plan.
Well, I appreciate that point. The thing that I would add is I've just started to read this new book, Cobra 2, by Michael Gordon and the General Bernie,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bernie.
Yeah.
And
whose name I can't remember right now either.
Trainer,
yeah,
there we go.
The
Bernie Trainer. And
Trainer.
Michael Gordon from the New York Times will be on with us this coming Monday here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mm-hmm. What they describe is fascinating to me because on the one hand, they take at face value the administration claims that planning for Iraq did not occur until after 9/11, when we have this inconvenient blurting out of the truth from General Peter Pace just 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
where he was defending Rumsfeld by saying, gosh, you know, Tommy Franks could have talked about those troop levels because we spent 2 years planning the invasion of Iraq. Well, you just count backwards from March of 2003,
mm-hmm.
and that turns into at least a lie about when that planning actually started.
Right.
Additionally, Tommy Franks was told in the spring of 2002, to be prepared to launch an invasion of Iraq on 30 days' notice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't actually happen until a year later because of the inconvenience of drumming up a casus belli, cause for war.
Right.
However, given the picture today, given the president's declining stature and his lame duck status, his willingness to sacrifice Republican electoral fortunes this November, and his statements to some of his evangelical buddies that he's going to do things that will make him unpopular for 10, 20 years. He won't be appreciated until historians look back from the distant future.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you add all this together, you see a president who's not operating under the normal rules of engagement.
Absolutely. That is absolutely correct. And, you know, I'd have to say we've known for quite a while that the plans for Iraq were on the table. Paul O'Neill told us.
Yep.
Any number of people told us. I think that it would be very, it would be unwise to ignore the news coming out of Iran with the MEK on the ground, with Gurbanifar being employed by Cheney, with now Chalabi being interfering in negotiations or mm-hmm. lack thereof. All of these things are very important because last time around we weren't paying as much attention because there was so much hysteria over 9/11, over these various victory dances going on. And this time around we have the benefit of hindsight, and we can see this developing. And I think it's absolutely important that we keep on it and keep discussing this. That even if there is not an attack in June,
right?
That is not to say there's not going to be an attack, or that, you know, reporters are crying wolf.
Understood. Yeah.
Right. It's just important that we stay on top of this at this point, this time around, anyway.
I was just about to go to Ben, but Ben didn't stay with us, so that's okay. Larissa Alexandrovna is with us from RawStory.com here on the Peter B. Collins Show. So as you see this taking shape, Larissa, and I'm respectful that you have a story that will be published tomorrow and you don't want to, destroy your own scoop. But I am looking at the scene, and with Rice at the United Nations yesterday pushing hard for a Security Council resolution, and we have a critical lack of support on this, and in some ways we can be thankful, from China. So do you believe
and
that...
And from Russia.
You're right about that. Do you believe that they're really going to hold this up to permit a resolution to come out of the United Nations? Because we've seen an administration that really only used that for window dressing and to keep the British happy.
Well, I mean, it depends on what these guys are doing. If you remember last time around, there was all sorts of doctored intelligence. We don't know what's going on now in terms of intelligence. We probably won't know until it starts dribbling out, leaking out, and being discredited, or how things are being presented to the UN. We do know that the IAEA has said that Iran is not in violation of the Anti-Proliferation Treaty. So I'm sorry, the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. Mm-hmm. So keeping that in mind, I just don't think suddenly overnight there's going to be some sort of finding, unless, as I said before, and what I keep hearing from everyone I speak to, the only reason for an immediate sort of retaliation, what would be a retaliation, would be if there was some sort of an attack on U.S. interests, either domestically or abroad. So I just don't think the UN really right now is key. I think we need to watch D.C. We need to watch what's going on in terms of congressional briefings. But more importantly, I think we need to watch what these guys are doing via back channels that they can somehow skirt legally and still get to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, last week, Dick Cheney made a three- or four-nation tour, including, praising the democracy in, I think it was Kazakhstan.
Oh.
And what do you make of that? He went to Russia and insulted the Russians.
Right.
At a time when we clearly want them for this support of this Iranian adventure, at least sanctions that could lead to it. And it's hard to really understand what he was up to. I got about 20 seconds. A comment?
A comment is that it's Cold War mentality. They're poofing up. They're posturing. It's nothing of importance, and they don't really care about diplomacy. They really believe they're either trying to create a new Cold War, or they're stuck in an old Cold War way of thinking.
Larissa, thanks a lot. I always appreciate your insight on these issues. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Larissa Alexandrovna, RawStory.com. Visit the website and get more information. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It was already set by conference agreement, but that doesn't mean extending some of President Bush's tax cuts. Could happen without debate. Illinois Republican Jerry Weller.
This policy has worked in creating jobs. This policy has worked to help regular people keep more of what they earn.
New York Congressman, Democrat Charles Rangel.
Clearly, we're talking about $70 billion, or at least 50 of that, going to the richest people that we have in this country.
The poorest people in the country pay no income taxes at all. When the debate was done,
the yeas are 244, the nays are 185. The conference report is adopted.
One courtroom in Providence, Rhode Island, has been an emotionally difficult place to be this week.
I will never forget that night. And I'll never forget the people that were hurt by it. I'm so sorry.
That's Daniel Beakley. He was given 4 years in prison today. He was manager of the band Great White, whose show sparked a tragic fire that killed 100 young people in 03. WHJJ reporter Bill Trefiro.
Beakley gave a brief but very stirring apology. He says, I don't know that I will ever forgive myself for what happened that night, so I don't expect anyone else to. He then proceeded to apologize in every way, shape, and form. And then as quickly as he got up and made his comments, he sat down and began crying.
The national economy still expanding strongly, enough that the Fed ordered another quarter-point bump in short-term interest rates today.
The Fed rarely speaks in clear English. The statement released with the rate announcement says that the extent and timing of future increases will depend on, quote, the evolution of economic outlook as implied by incoming information. Translation, if the data say we should take a pause, we'll take a pause. The Fed definitely is leaving the door open for further hikes.
And CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato in Washington. On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 3 points to close at 11,642. The Nasdaq was off about 17.5 points. Oil prices, just over $72 a barrel, up more than a dollar today. People in Westminster, Texas, got up this morning looking to see what the twisters left last night. Three people dead.
This storm struck so quick, and the tornado spawned so quickly, just in a matter of seconds.
That's Steve Defebaugh. He's the fire marshal in Collin County, Texas. One North Texas family huddled in a closet as the tornado ripped through. They came out, found their barn gone, and one of their horses literally up in a tree. Researchers say it was a study worth doing to study the effects of kissing. Actually, we're talking really making out here. 30 minutes of kissing is good for your allergies, according to the research. Serious smooching reduces the body's allergic reaction to pollen, relaxes the body, most definitely increases blood flow, and most importantly, reduces the production of histamine. Just think of it as therapy. This is CBS News.
I'm thrilled my husband is such a do-it-yourselfer. But some things are better left to professionals. We learned that the hard way after a recent termite problem. Oh, it turns out household pests can cause major property damage and contribute to serious health problems. Now I trust a pest professional to keep our home pest-free. With my home and family, I don't take risks. And in the long run, we even save money, too. Ow. Oh, honey!
Visit pestworld.org to find a qualified pest professional today.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
High gas prices, California drivers equals the search for better prices, right?
The question is whether motorists are out there looking for bargains or still going to their old familiar haunts, regardless of price.
Just as I'm driving home or to work.
How far would you drive to save money?
Oh, not very far. I don't feel it's worth it.
I drive from here to work and back, and whichever price is the cheapest, I'll stop at.
I don't got time. I'm working. 2 pennies a gallon, you're paying $3.35 a gallon. That ain't made no sense to me.
That driver who was filling a 40-gallon tank admitted to a little extra incentive, he says, to keep going to his neighborhood gas station.
Good coffee here. That's why I stop here. And I just fill up.
Ron Kilgore for CBS News, Los Angeles.
110 years ago today, two golden railroad spikes were driven into cross ties at Promontory Summit, Utah, connecting the continent by rail. Trains named number 119 and Jupiter were nose to nose, and today that's an historic sight. That moment is also chosen as the scene for the new Utah Quarter. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
12, 11.
Elaine
10,
McCormick can't sleep
9,
because aches and pains
8,
are keeping her up.
7,
but she's not counting sheep.
6,
she's counting the days
5,
till new Advil PM is here. It's coming. The first and only PM with Advil. Get multi-pain relieving power combined with a non-habit forming sleep aid to gently ease you to sleep. New Advil PM. Look for it beginning May 15th.
Use only as directed. Available at participating retailers.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We originate from the left coast on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and that itty-bitty town called Freedom. We are live and vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and tons of redwoods. We love the old growth. And our program is now heard every night on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, Sacramento, and KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. And whenever, wherever you happen to be listening, welcome to the program. Feel free to drop me a note to confirm your existence, and mine too. Just go to the website, peterbcollins.com, and there's a link there to send me an email. Or if you want to cut out the middleman, just send it to bigmouth@peterbcollins.com. It'll get to me. We are now in the free speech zone, which means we take calls on any issue from any viewpoint. Yes, right-wingers can call this program. You will not be screened for your content from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are wide open right now. Central Coast number is 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. And you can call me toll-free from anywhere in these continental United States, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We've covered a lot of ground on the program today. The Kennedy assassination, that Discovery Channel documentary special with Tom Hartman and Lamar Waldron will air tomorrow night, Thursday, 9 p.m. on the Discovery Channel. We think it's 9 p.m., but check your local listings. And also, while we're talking about the boob tube, tonight in California on San Francisco CBS 5 KPIX TV, between 7 and 8 p.m., there is the final debate between Democratic gubernatorial candidates Steve Wesley and Phil Angelides. And I'm pretty sure it's not available on the Monterey cable system. Not so sure about the North State cable systems, but if you have a chance, maybe you have Dish TV, you can access KPIX from San Francisco. That is from 7 to 8 p.m. this evening. We also talked about the conflicts between ranchers and energy producers in New Mexico. We talked with Eleanor Smeal, one of the founders of Ms. Magazine and a longtime advocate for women's rights, about those sweatshops in the Mariana Islands that were kept open through the good offices of Jack Abramoff, Tom DeLay, and Richard Pombo, the congressman from California who heads the House Resources Committee. And speaking of Abramoff, you know that we often speak with Melanie Sloan, who heads Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, CREW. And yesterday she told us about their efforts, a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security and the Secret Service, to reveal the records of visits not only by Jack Abramoff himself, Fedora, the Fedora man, but also by his associates, and not just to the White House, but to the Vice President's office, to the Vice President's residence, and other locations. And a partial disclosure is expected tomorrow. According to several sources, the Secret Service will release records documenting only two visits from Jack Abramoff to the White House, one in 2001, one in 2004. Well, Jack himself has told Washingtonian Magazine that he had nearly a dozen meetings with President Bush. Now, possibly they didn't all occur at the White House. But Melanie Sloan stated, clearly the White House is covering up the truth about the administration's relationship with Abramoff and his cohorts. The administration has blown yet another opportunity to come clean with the American public. So it'll be interesting to see if we find out more about documents related to Jack Abramoff and his closeness with the White House. And Bush, who apparently has a great memory, can't remember any of those meetings with Abramoff. Also, some things we can talk about here today. This one's delicious, and we have to credit Brad Friedman of bradblog.com on the Coulter Watch. And I'll just read you what Brad posted today. Ann Coulter voter fraud. A first. Coulter goes silent. May be thrown off voter rolls. And according to Brad Blog, Ann Coulter may be guilty of tax code fraud for taking a $25,000 homestead exemption on a house in Florida that she doesn't even live in. That's in Palm Beach. And she is on the verge of being tossed from the voter rolls in Palm Beach County, Florida. And Coulter appears to have committed a third-degree felony by knowingly giving an incorrect address on her voter registration form in Palm Beach and then voting at the incorrect polling place last March. She could face up to $5,000 in fines, 5 years in prison if convicted. And if she went to prison, they might cut her off Botox, and her upper lip might start to move again. And the president's poll numbers are bottoming out even further, down to an overall 31%. Which brings me to Maureen Dowd's priceless column in today's New York Times. Would you indulge me? She wrote, "One Bush did it by staying out of Baghdad, raising taxes, and driving down the deficit. The other Bush did it by going into Baghdad, cutting taxes, and driving up the deficit. But perhaps inevitably, the father and son ended up in an Oedipal tango at the same spot, 31%. After trying not to emulate his father's presidency in any way, W. emulated it in the worst possible way. He came out of a conflict with Saddam as a towering figure with soaring approval ratings and ended up as a shrunken figure with scalding approval ratings. In the latest New York Times CBS poll, W.'s stunning implosion landed him in a tie with his dad's low point in July 1992, 4 months before the public traded in Poppy for Bill Clinton. As two reporters noted in their Times article, that is the lowest approval rating for any president in the last half century other than Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter. Even Hillary Clinton, now Rupert Murdoch's best friend, that's my commentary, has a more favorable rating than W at 34%. Read the rest of Maureen Dowd's column if it's available to you, because she's a really good writer and I love the way she nails things. So those topics are up for conversation, and you can bring up something of your own. This is an open forum, free speech. We really mean it. So if you have a comment, you can join me right now. Lines available at 831-899-5792 or on the toll-free circuit, 888-579-2540. Dave in Pinnacles, you're up first. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Hey, Peter, I'd just like to ask you a question, maybe make a comment here. it's a kind of a trend that I've noticed in investigators that investigate mysterious secret things, especially the government activities, mm-hmm. that we have this trend now where they're just basically compiling documented fact, eyewitness account, and documents, and letting the reviewers make their own conclusions, so avoiding the pitfall of being classified as a conspiracy nut when they draw conclusions. They're not drawing conclusions. They're just demonstrating the evidence, the public evidence.
All right, give me an example.
Well, let's say Mark North wrote this book. It's called The Role of J. Edgar Hoover in the Kennedy Assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he doesn't really draw any conclusions. He just goes out, and through the Freedom of Information Act, he compiles all these documents and puts them together, and lo and behold, it kind of tells its own story without him stepping into the trap of coming up with a theory that could be attacked as a conspiracy and then isolating him as being some kind of a nutcase.
So you see him as a stenographer and not
exactly.
a journalist.
Exactly. Well, I think this is a trend more and more that people are realizing. Don't go over the edge and say what you think happened. Just present the facts. And I think it's an interesting trend, and I applaud it. I think it's great.
Well, on the one hand, I understand your point. On the other, it does seem intellectually dishonest for people, let's say, on the Kennedy assassination to compile all this information and then just end up with, like, a radio station slogan and tell them to think for themselves.
Well, exactly. Well, let me give you an example of what's in this book, The Role of J. Edgar Hoover. They were able to get a field office memo from Miami to J. Edgar, advising him that there was a threat against the president. Every year, the director is required to go in front of a congressional committee and, you know, tell them the state of what things are happening. And he is required by law to tell them of any threats against the president. Well, he never made them. So he perjured himself in front of Congress. And another thing people don't know is that J. Edgar Hoover immediately went to Dallas and grabbed Oswald's wife and put her under wraps so nobody could get to her.
Yeah,
and another thing is a lot of people don't know is that he also got into the IRS because Oswald had a tax return from, guess what, the FBI. And J. Edgar didn't want anybody to know that Oswald was on the payroll of the FBI. And these
I believe they put him on the payroll when he was a double agent in Russia, right?
Well,
it was the Soviet Union then. He lived in the Soviet Union before he came back to the United States.
You know, I think you might be right about that. It's been a year and a half or so since I've read the book. I have the copy in my home, and I need to review it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting. I just thought of that when I, you know, of how this new trend of not stepping over the edge, just showing the facts, just like this 911 thing. We see the facts, and nobody's drawing a conclusion. We're just saying, gee whiz, the evidence does not meet the government explanation. It's as simple as that.
Well, but ultimately, I do want to be able to arrive at an alternate theory, if not a fact-based scenario that's different from what we've been told. So I'm not content to just lay out the facts. When I can, I try to sew them up into a point of view. Dave, thanks a lot. And let's see if other listeners have comments on your idea there. I've got lines available, and I'd like to hear from you. It's the Free Speech Zone this entire hour. On the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Puts you through directly to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic this afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
Wow, Peter, so many new problems to talk about. North 17, north of Highway 1, we're getting reports of a broken-down car blocking the right lane. South 17, heavy before and after Lark Avenue. Also, a head-on collision clearing in Gilroy, Highway 152 at Poline Road, the eastbound lane partially blocked there. Also getting reports of a new overturned car, southbound 101 just south of Laurel Drive. Looks like the right lane blocked. Injuries reported and emergency crews just now arriving on scene. A separate crash, north 101 and Highway 156 east in San Benito County involving a big rig and a car. Lanes blocked there. You'll find Highway Patrol also arriving on scene there shortly. This report brought to you by Sears. It's time for the Mother's Day sale at Sears, and they're there to help. Sell in 51306. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're here in the Free Speech Zone on this beautiful sunny afternoon on the left coast.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore?
Oh, that's so depressing.
Don't love me anymore.
I don't know why. I just had to whip out that song. That's Skeeter Davis from back in 1962. The End of the World. All right, to your calls we go. We're here in the Free Speech Zone here this afternoon. And first up, we've got Sam in San Francisco. Hello, Sam. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, love your show. I listen to it on the web and really appreciate what you're doing to sort of highlight the Iran issues as it comes straight at us.
Well, thank you. We're doing what we can.
I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit more about the possible link with the midterm elections. It seems to me that, you know, with the Democrats having a good chance of taking the House back with the decline in Bush's popularity, they may be inclined to try to do something before they become impeachable. If you know what I mean. I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the state of play for the November elections and how that might influence it.
All right. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I do slightly disagree with Larissa that if Bush, you know, launched into an attack on Iran without congressional approval or a UN resolution, that it would lead to automatic impeachment, because the impeachment pipeline is all backed up, and we got to call the Roto-Rooter man
to get in there. There are plenty of grounds to move forward, certainly on an investigation of impeachment.
Certainly some war crimes take precedence over others, though.
Yeah, but it really can't occur unless we have principled Republicans who break the one-party system and say, well, this is more important than party politics, and I don't see that in the offing. Now, to the November elections, it is still an uphill battle for the Democrats. They need 15 seats in the House, and there are not simply enough districts in play at this point. Even if you got the six-fecta, if all of the predictions came true that tainted Republican members of Congress in the Jack Abramoff case are identified before November and get thrown out, number one, you can't guarantee that a Democrat would replace them, and number two, the power of the incumbency is extremely strong. And so I think that there are some Democrats who are hoping that a miracle will occur and they will win back the House this November, which could lead to Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Conyers in the House Judiciary Committee. And that could indeed lead to ultimately an impeachment process. But getting from here to there is not easy, and nationalizing the House elections is not easily accomplished either. Really, only Gingrich in 94 has done that in recent history.
Well, let's hope it plays out well for people who think right about the world. Thank you for your show, and good luck to you.
Nice to hear from you, Sam. Thanks for the call today. Jake in Arcata, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You know, I think the best way to nationalize these congressional elections is to push the impeachment issue. I mean, the man's at 31%. George Bush, Dick Cheney's at 18% or lower now. America is sick and tired of these Republicans, and I think that pushing impeachment will be a popular idea. If you look at the poll, Zogby did a poll where they asked the American public, if George Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, should he be impeached? 52% said yes, and most Americans, when they think of the word impeachment, don't think of the House vote. Mm-hmm. They think of removal from office as being what impeachment means. So the American public is way ahead of the politicians on this one. And I
agree. The only thing is I don't want to promote a false hope here, Jake, that it's just going to happen. We are able to see Democrats in control of the House next January, it's going to come from a remarkable combination of events and incredible hard work by Democrats all over the country.
That's right. Impeachment's going to have to come from the grassroots because the politicians are, frankly, scared. They are frightened of George Bush and the vindictiveness of the Republican Party, which they show over and over again. They go after anybody who opposes them. And the thing is, it's the Democrats' job to go after the Republicans. That's why they're the opposition party. They're supposed to be the loyal opposition and present views that are not respected by the Republicans currently, which is most people's views. And most people think Iraq, this war, is a disaster and should end. And just because George Bush is too clueless to get it, most Americans get it, Peter. Speaking of clueless people, Hillary Clinton. that fundraiser with Rupert Murdoch, hey, I'm convinced that will destroy any chance Hillary Clinton has of being the Democratic nominee in 2008.
There's a great commentary about that by Jeff Cohen at Truth Out today. And great. Cohen is one of the founders of the media watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's a great guy. And I encourage people to read it because he is commenting similarly that this really could seal Hillary's fate. Because for her to turn her back on the media reform movement in this country, keep in mind that just 2 years ago in May, the Federal Communications Commission had the largest outpouring of comments from Americans on its plan at the time to further relax the rules that permit big companies to own more media outlets in this country. And it was a remarkable coalition that included a lot of left-leaning groups and the National Rifle Association, among others. So I do think that, that DLC centrist strategy that she plays is going to bite her at a certain point. We need to keep the pressure on, and we need to keep calling attention to these kinds of sellouts that she gets involved in.
That's right, Peter. The American people deserve better, and we have far better candidates than Hillary Clinton. Russ Feingold, for one, would be an excellent presidential candidate. And it's about time Democrats got a candidate who actually looked out for what we want as a party and what we want as the American people, which is for these Republican corporate robber barons, to quit screwing our country over just so they can make a profit. And that's really the Republican Party philosophy, is just make some money for themselves and their friends and forget about the rest of us. And it's time that we the people stood up and said enough to these Republican lies and crimes.
Thank you, Jake. Always a pleasure to hear from you. More calls coming up next. Get on the line here in the Free Speech Zone. Give me a call, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And let me know how those Bush tax cuts are trickling down to you. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
33 minutes past the hour. You're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Lines available for listeners with opinions. And if you're like me, you're burdened with way too many opinions, so let's get one off your chest. 831-899-5790. Toll free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Our web stream today has had a few technical glitches, so if you've been trying to listen online and it's frustrating you, you have my apology. We've also had intermittent service at peterbcollins.com. But don't blame Homeland Security. We believe the problems are under our, well, not necessarily under our control, but they are our responsibility. And we always do like to once in a while pause and reflect on the likely possibility that we have our own minder at the National Security Agency. And every now and then we just like to pause and say, Benny, thanks for listening. And then we play this annoying little noise, hoping he rips the earbuds out of his ears. To your calls in just a moment, but first, there's a guy named Mark Perkle who got my email address, and he sends me pithy commentaries on a regular basis. Here's one. As President Reagan used to say, here we go again. The Republicans just passed another big tax cut for the rich, which will be paid for by borrowing another $70 billion from communist Chinese and Saudi billionaires like the Bin Laden family. This tax cut, of course, benefits everyone, we are told. If you make $30,000 a year, you save $9. But if you make $1 million a year, you save $42,000. Gone are the good old days when Republicans talked about a balanced budget and how we're going to spend the surplus. Now it's just borrow and spend without any sense of fiscal responsibility. And it's signed, I'm Mark Perkle, and I approved this message. Thank you, Mark. Harvey in Eureka, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, you may think I'm foolhardy or maybe I'm courageous. I don't know which. But
I'll let you know, Harvey.
I'm going to predict that Karl Rove will never be indicted.
Oh, really?
Because he's like J. Edgar Hoover. He knows too much. He has too much on too many people. And so I don't think he ever will. I mean, they said he was going to be indicted last Friday,
right.
And it's going day after day after day, and I think it'll eventually be buried, and nobody will mention it anymore, and so that will pass into oblivion.
Well, Harvey, I'm not going to call you a crackpot, because clearly Karl Rove is a very powerful individual. He does have the goods on many people, presumably. And you can be pretty certain that he is using every weapon and resource at his disposal to avoid being indicted.
Yes,
so I do understand that he will put a lot of effort into that goal. My sense is, and I am basing this on reporters who I trust, that there is an indictment that's already been handed down. It has not been unsealed. Because there have been discussions, I've heard a couple of different elements, but partly that he may get some credit for cooperating with Fitzgerald, and therefore some of the minor indictable issues won't be present in the charges. And the flip side of that is that I've been told that the grand jury is wrestling with whether to add an obstruction of justice charge to the bill that's already been prepared. So on that basis, I am still hopeful that this will pan out.
Well,
but I hear what you're saying, and I don't dismiss it blithely, Harvey.
Well, I would just wonder what grounds are those assertions made that you just listed. You know, I mean, are they just speculation, or is there any kind of concrete, definite...
It is based on unnamed sources in the special prosecutor's office and potentially members of the grand jury.
Well, that's a little bit vague, but we just
yes,
have to wait and see, I guess.
And I wish I could give you more concrete, Harvey. I don't like to deal in vague myself.
Yeah. And there was another thing I wanted to mention real quick. There was this man that was saying that we didn't have an explicit definition of who killed Kennedy, but I remember the man came out and said it was the mafia, and he didn't mince his words. So I don't think that that assertion that he didn't have a theory holds up. I think he was very forthright.
And who are you referring to, Harvey?
Oh, the man that was that worked with the Hartman.
The first guest today, Lamar Waldron.
And this man that called later and said that he didn't set out any theory, but he did quite directly say that it was the mafia. So I would say that is a theory. I mean, that is an explanation, and I don't think he left anything hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'd point that out. Because the man that called, he said that people are just laying out facts and not coming to any conclusions, and I don't think that was an instance of that.
Well, and I don't agree with Dave's central point that he likes that people just lay out the facts and let you to try to come to your own conclusions. There are cases where that's called for, but when you're talking about investigative journalism and trying to unravel a deep conspiracy like the Kennedy assassination, I appreciate people who offer conclusions and say, well, based on this evidence, I believe X.
I think it would be somewhat cowardly not to put forth your own theory. I mean, if you've gone to all the trouble of investigating and collecting the facts, I mean, we want to know what your conclusion is as a result of your efforts. So.
Yep, that's a good point. And in general, as I say, I prefer to present either conclusive thought or real conclusions, and then people can react to it. Say, well, I accept that or I don't accept it based on the evidence provided.
Yes, that's right. I mean, then you know where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll let you go here.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. That leaves a line open from the toll-free circuit at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And let me toss this one out. Matt Renner, our producer, found this on the web today. And this deals with perceptions and race. According to a Stanford University researcher, the more black-looking an African-American man charged with murdering a white victim is, the more likely he is to be sentenced to death. Using scores given by white and Asian-American Stanford undergrads to rate facial features of 44 black men tried for murder in Philadelphia over a 20-year period, researchers found that 57.5% rated to have stereotypically black features such as dark skin were then sentenced to death. By contrast, 24.4% of black men in similar murder cases and rated by the students as less stereotypically black were sentenced to death, said Jennifer Eberhardt, the Stanford psychologist involved in the research. Now, despite the use of ratings from only white and Asian American students, the findings suggest that jurors use stereotypes of black features as a proxy for criminality and punish murder defendants with those features more severely. They do link, although the students have no knowledge of who they are or who they murder, said Eberhardt, referring to the defendants. They link their features and their sentences. Researchers also set ratings for facial features against a pool of 118 black men tried for murdering other blacks and found no relationship between their features and their sentences. You could not use the features to predict whether they got a death sentence, she said. You're more likely to get a death sentence in the white case than in the black cases. So this brings up a number of questions about the way Caucasian Americans view African Americans. And if you think back to the 1988 political campaign and George Herbert Walker Bush's use of Willie Horton, it is a parallel. I don't offer it as any kind of social science proof, but just a parallel. That the image of Willie Horton, linked to the knowledge that he had been released on a furlough and committed a grisly crime, it was a rape and possibly a murder, I don't recall, that it further embedded the kind of prejudice that many whites feel about blacks, particularly black males convicted of killing a white person. And what the Stanford study doesn't attempt to do is look at geography. And I ask you this question, maybe you have a thought. Would geography make any difference in the perceptions that we just described? In other words, are people in the Deep South more deeply bigoted and more biased based on visual perception than people in the North? And based on my experience, growing up in a segregated city in the North, Cincinnati, Ohio, going to school in Chicago, another segregated city, even today, I have to say I'm not sure that it would make a difference. I think these negative stereotypical perceptions are pretty common among white Americans coast to coast. Maybe you disagree. I'd like to know your thoughts. Lines available as we head into the final segment of the Free Speech Zone here today. Central Coast numbers 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Don't miss me, Air America radio host Tom Hartman, as I expose a top-secret CIA plan, codenamed AM World, on nationwide TV Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. In Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination, a program produced by NBC for the Discovery Channel, I'll reveal CIA documents about a top-secret JFK plan to stage a coup against Fidel Castro that led directly to JFK's own death. Tune in Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tom Hartman, that's me, on the Discovery Channel. There's a link at the top of TomHartman.com and AirAmericaRadio.com.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540, looking at traffic one more time. 547 now, and here's Amy Knight.
It's still very busy out there. North 101 after Rocks Road. Here's some better news. A big rig's been cleared from the right lane, but a little further north, North 101 at 156 East in San Benito County, an injury accident with multiple vehicles involved, at least a big rig and four other cars. Crews are cleaning up a 40-gallon oil spill that's been spilled in the left lane. Caltrans also on the way to help with that, but expect very slow traffic. North 101 at 156 East. South 101 at Laurel Drive in Salinas. Better news, an overturned van cleared off the surface streets, but 152 at Poline Road, a head-on collision still being cleared from the eastbound lane. Aches and pains keeping you up at night? Starting May 15th, there's a new Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Who can take California?
Who can take California?
Set it on its ear.
Set it on its ear.
stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Will the girly man get four more years in Sacramento? Well, shaping up is the primary battle between Steve Wesley and Phil Angelides for the Democratic nomination to oppose Schwarzenegger in November. And as I mentioned, tonight there is the final broadcast debate. There haven't been many, so don't think you missed a whole series of them. There was one other one in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago. And this one originates from San Francisco, and it's available from CBS Channel 5, that's KPIX. Not on all the cable systems, I know that. You might be able to find it streaming at kpix.com. You could look into that. 7 to 8 p.m. tonight, Pacific time, is when that debate will take place. And it's interesting to note that in the past few weeks, there were polls, particularly the Los Angeles Times poll, suggesting that Steve Wesley had opened up a 13-point lead on Phil Angelides. And if you heard that and it discouraged you because you're an Angelides supporter, you should know that lead, if it was true, has virtually evaporated. And two recent polls conducted in the last week show that Wesley and Angelides are virtually tied among Democratic likely voters on June 6th. So this race is not over. And you could, if you care to call and talk about your favorite candidate, feel free to do so. But I just want to encourage you to keep that mind open and see what your decision is for the Democratic nominee to face off against Schwarzenegger. Again, my number is 888-579-2540 if you'd like to weigh in on that. Next up, we've got Molly in Carmel. Hello, Molly.
Hi. Just as a detail, KUSP is going to be carrying the debate at on the radio at
okay.
7.
And what frequency is that? That's
88.9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
FM. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to mention a point that I'm not sure was in the Ms. article, just the irony that Ralph Reed, who is involved, and one of the stipulations, one of the things these women down there have to live with in their slave camps is if they get pregnant, they are required to get an abortion. They are forced to get an abortion.
You are correct, and so, I ran out of time talking to
Eleanor
Sneal.
That was just one of the
Sneal.
Nasty details that was so ironic and so indicative of the whole, all the levels of hypocrisy that are...
Yeah. Well, and it's just important to note that these are exploiters who are propped up and promoted by the Republicans because they have common interests and because the Republicans get greased with huge campaign contributions. And we really need people to understand this. I also think it's important to note that we have sweatshop conditions in various parts of the United States, often exploiting undocumented workers, but just as often we have cases of people who have this what amounts to indentured servitude because they paid someone to get them to the United States, and they end up working often in the sex trade to pay off those debts. And sometimes, because of their status without citizenship or green card protection, they are further exploited even after they have paid off their debts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for keeping us informed.
Okay,
appreciate
Molly. I appreciate your call today. And all our lines are open, so if you want to jump in here, we've got time for your call before the end of the hour, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Don't be shy. Want to recommend to you a visit to buzzflash.com. It's a great website, not as cleanly organized or well-edited as some of the other progressive websites, but BuzzFlash does a great job of bringing you hot information. And they have just announced that they are honoring my friend Ray McGovern on BuzzFlash.com as this week's Wings of Justice Award winner. And there is an extensive BuzzFlash interview with Ray McGovern. I haven't read it yet, but it is on the site. And if you know who he is, he's the man who stood up and stood up to Donald Rumsfeld in Atlanta last week. And he's been on our program on many occasions. I've been talking with Ray McGovern for 3 or 4 years now, and he's a man I have deep respect for, and he did not heckle, and he did not protest when he went to that encounter with Rumsfeld. He was an invited guest, and he stood up during a question and answer period. The media has portrayed it in a really twisted way, suggesting that he was a heckler and that somehow his questioning of Rumsfeld, while very powerful and strong, was somehow out of line. And that is clearly not the case. Ben and Salinas, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, Peter, thank you for the forum. You're a good man, and you know I got to shoot off my mouth once in a while because I am a passionate American.
And I understand. As I mentioned earlier, I'm burdened with too many opinions, and if I didn't have this talk show, Ben, I'd probably be in therapy 2 or 3 days a week.
You and I have more in common than you'll ever know, sir. But I find this thing is with Rupert Murdoch and Hillary Clinton, I guarantee you that's a poison pill for one of them. Now, time will only tell if I'm right or wrong. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to draw you this snapshot. All these visits throughout the Arab world there by Condoleezza Rice and then Rumsfeld with his surprise visit, and the tip-off to me was Cheney going to Kazakhstan, which is one of the meanest places on the face of this earth.
Right.
When you think of Libya and the Sudan, this guy boils his witnesses and you don't survive. That's due.
Cheney claimed that he was very comfortable with the emerging democracy there.
You know, this man loves torture. Cheney, I don't want to get overly disrespectful because he is a public official. However, Him and Bush, these cats are not human for the suffering they're causing without any conscience. I think he was sent there, and Condoleezza and Rummy, to let those people know in that region of the world of an impending nuclear strike at Iran. Here's the big problem I'm seeing, sir. They have already demonstrated they have a low-flying, supersonic, radar-evading ballistic missile, which they were provided with by their ally and mentor, which is Russia. Behind Russia is China. Now, they also demonstrated a radar-evading flying boat, they call it. Now, I'm hearing that the Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier is already in the area, and they claim they're going to be able to knock it out in a few weeks with three boats. So they're only going to have three boats in the area. Now, what happens when the Iranians are no paper tiger? These people will fight. They don't fear death.
They've fought a bloody 8-year war with Iraq.
And we were Iraq's supporter. We gave them the weapons to knock them out. There's no love lost there.
Right.
And half of their
Even with our support of Iraq, which was not acknowledged at the time, Iraq wasn't able to beat back the Iranians. Well, it was a draw.
We're the same people that told Hussein he could go into Kuwait, and we left him out there dangling, and now he's in a cage, and we're building permanent bases. But here's the scenario as I see it. We get in there, we hit him with some kind of a limited nuclear thing, instead of ready to die for Israel, I guess. But let's say they fire that missile, which is state-of-the-art radar evading. Let's say they knock one of our carriers out of the water. Can you say Lusitania? It will call for a full retaliatory nuclear strike back at them. Israel will get into the fray, and Iran is Russia's ally. Now, we need Israel or Russia with their finger on the nuclear trigger, and where do you think Russia's going to go? Who's their neighbor? I mean, China. Who's their neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to be so doom and gloom, sir, but boy, I hope we can save this country. Just if we would get Mr. Bush and Cheney out of there, America wouldn't have to be spelled with a K anymore, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Eugenia in Salinas. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Eugenia.
I decided to check out Murdoch on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing, how Murdoch took on the world.
Yeah.
Says he took the world on and did so well by aligning himself with power or emerging power.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may be telling us something or setting up Hillary, but there's more than one or two ways to look at this, and we should be very alert to see if he is telling us that Bush is going down and Hillary looks like the best shot for us to come up.
Well,
I know you don't agree with that, but
no,
it is possible.
It's logical, and I don't dismiss it.
How his organization, and he said it said ideology is of no concern to his organization.
You bet. You are correct. And you know, if you go to London sometime, and you read the different papers owned by Murdoch, you can see that there's a range of opinions from the far right to the merely right. And he does hedge his bets and support politicians of both parties when it is to his advantage. And I don't think he's doing this expecting that Bush will be out in, you know, before January of 2009. But I do think that he knows how things work in this country, and he doesn't want to wind up on the losing end. Eugenia, thanks for your call. I got to go because Trigger's here. We'll do this again tomorrow.
Happy trails to you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Even though it was an accident, no one thought Great White deliberately started a fire with its show, but it happened. And 100 young people died in West Warwick, Rhode Island. That was back in 03. Dan Beakley was the band's manager.
I don't know that I'll ever forgive myself for what happened that night. So I can't expect anybody else to.
This was sentencing day. Judge Francis Darrigan Jr.
This court will therefore sentence you to 15 years at the ACI, 4 years of which to be served by you, with 11 years suspended.
It's only part of what the president wants, his tax cuts extended, if not made permanent. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson says the House has passed $70 billion in tax cut extensions.
Democrat Max Baucus helped craft the tax cut package, but says some crucial features got axed at the last minute. Not in the plan, the ability to deduct state and local sales tax, the college tuition tax deduction, deductions for teachers who spend their own money on school supplies, and tax credits for businesses that hire welfare-to-work employees.
Americans like tax cuts, but Americans, more than that, want to do what's right and want us and Congress to do what we think is right for the country.
The tax breaks could pass the Senate as early as tomorrow and be on the president's desk for signing by week's end.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 3 points. NASDAQ was off about 17 and a half. Five insurgent suspects have escaped from a military prison in northern Iraq. Sergeant Doug Anderson is coalition spokesman.
On May 9th, five detainees escaped from the Fort Seuss Theater internment facility during the early morning hours. All other detainees at the fort have been accounted for, and currently this incident is under investigation.
Terrorists opened fire today on a bus full of civilians, then planted a bomb that exploded when the rescue workers got there. 11 people died in that incident. Too soon to talk about bringing troops home or reducing their numbers in Afghanistan. That from the general in charge of U.S. troops there, Carl Eikenberry.
The enemy intimidation campaign against moderate religious leaders, intimidation campaign against moderate tribal leaders who support the state of Afghanistan. We find the Taliban burning down schools.
And he says making more use of suicide bombers and improvised devices. The Sanjay